The first reading, which will also serve as the sermon text this morning, from Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak to the heart of Jerusalem and call out to her. Her warfare really is over. Her guilt is fully paid for. Yes, she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice is calling out, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. In the wasteland, make a level highway for our God. Every valley will be raised up, and every mountain and hill will be made low. The rugged ground will become level, and the rough places will become a plain. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh together will see it. Yes, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice was saying, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry out? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like a wildflower in the countryside. Grass withers, flowers fade when the breath of the Lord blows on them. Yes, the people are grass. Grass withers, flowers fade. But the word of our God endures forever. Get up on a high mountain, O Zion, you herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, you herald of good news. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Look, God the Lord will come with strength, and his arm is ruling for him. Look, his reward is with him. The results of his work is in front of him. Look, a shepherd, like a shepherd, he will care for his flock. With his arm he will gather the lambs. He will lift them up on his lap. He will gently lead the nursing mothers. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen again to these words from Isaiah chapter 40. I'll read the first verse. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. This is the word of our God. And so we pray, Lord, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, it should strike us the great emphasis that God puts not just on his word, but particularly on the proclamation of that word, the preaching and teaching ministry. Throughout the history of God's people, God has sent messengers to communicate to his people. And Isaiah, in this text particularly, demonstrates that truth with his repetition of a command from God to his messengers to speak to God's people on his behalf. And what is that message that God's messengers carry to his people? What would he have them say? Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. God does come to comfort. God is here to rescue, to save us. He has such love for humanity because God is love. As we consider this Advent season, the coming King, he prepares us today for his coming through his messengers, so he wants to communicate through them this message of love. A message of love which includes a cold reality, and a message of love which also includes a warm embrace. God's words, speak to the heart of Jerusalem and call out to her. And again, a voice is calling out. And again, a voice was saying, cry out. And once more, get up on a high mountain, lift up your voice with strength, say to the cities of Judah. These are the commands of God to his messengers, whom he sends to people to prepare the way for his own coming to them. That's the message of love that God communicates. But that message of love isn't always pleasant to hear. Sometimes that message of love from God is tough love. That's what we receive from God when he speaks his law to us, tough love. And in this text, that tough love of the law is presented to us with a cold reality, a reality that all of us need to recognize. This text from Isaiah can be divided into four different sections. It's written in an A-B-B-A pattern. The first and last sections speak of a warm message of the gospel, but those middle two sections speak and express that cold reality of the law. Consider that third section first, verses 6 through 8. It speaks of our mortality. What shall the messenger from God speak? What does he say? He tells of the cold reality of death, the brevity of human life. All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like a wild flower in the countryside. Grass withers, flowers fade when the breath of the Lord blows on them. Yes, the people are grass. Grass withers, flowers fade. Again, in this text, we see repetition from God through his messengers to drive home a point. And you may look at that. Oh, grass and flowers. What a pleasant thought. We're like grass and flowers, like that sunny day as we prance through the meadow and the beautiful flowers. No, that's not the message communicated from God at all. It's a message of brevity. It's a message of frailty. It's a message of death. People wither and die, and quickly. They don't last long. Consider what God is saying about our life. It is short, like a breath, wither and fade, wither and fade. Such is life. And we know the cold reality of death, from which we cannot escape. And what's more, we know the cause of it too. It's our own sinfulness. When God's word, which endures forever, spoke, it commanded us to do and not do, and we disobeyed. And the result of that disobedience is death. That's a sobering thought. It's painful to hear that cold reality, but necessary. The bulk of the message of the first 39 chapters of Isaiah is trouble as a consequence of sin. It speaks of warfare. It conveys this incredible guilt that is piled upon the top of God's people as a result of their sin and their rebellion before God. And yet, even in the midst of this cold, hard reality of our sinfulness and the results that come of it, which is death, God is ready to bring comfort to us. Even as brief as our life is, by contrast, is the enduring quality of our God and his message to us, even when that message is hard to hear. We still recognize it as an enduring message and a message of love from God. To the addict whose life is spiraling out of control, and everyone knows it except the addict himself, tough love needs to be shown. Not to destroy the addict, that's already happening because of his own actions. No, the tough love is to save the life from that self-destruction. So is God's message of the law to our hearts. It strikes us with the truth, how we have destroyed our lives. But it also prepares us to see how the King has come to save us. Now let's consider the other middle section, verses 3 through 5. Look at the difficult way through which that King, God, comes when he comes to save. What a difficult path he has to come through in order to rescue us in the situation in which we have found ourselves. As Isaiah foretold the captivity in Babylon to come, that time would come to an end. And how eager God was to accomplish the end of that captivity. He couldn't wait to bring his people back from their suffering. So that look at the path that he cuts. A normal path from Mesopotamia, from Babylon, the area where they would have been in captivity, would have followed that fertile crescent in the north, a safe route, well-traveled with many good stops along the way. But for the Lord, that wouldn't do. There's urgency in his deliverance. There's a burning desire inside him to lead his people back, and quickly. So the longer northern route won't do. No, instead he cuts a path straight through the desert. He makes a level highway right through the Arabian desert. That's the most direct route. That's the quickest deliverance. In the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. In the wasteland, make a level highway for our God. Every valley will be raised up, and every mountain and hill will be made low. The rugged ground will become level, and the rough places will become a plain. Yes, God is so eager to come and deliver us that he cuts straight through the most treacherous path to bring us to his warm embrace. Of course, God's deliverance of his Old Testament people from captivity in Babylon is, most importantly, serving as a foreshadow of the fuller, more complete, and perfect deliverance of all of God's people from the captivity of sin and Satan and death. He would accomplish this in the coming Messiah in the flesh. The fact that this text and the deliverance from captivity in Babylon serves to foreshadow God's deliverance from sin through Jesus is perfectly clear in that gospel lesson for us today. The Holy Spirit wants us to see and understand in Isaiah's message this truth that God sends Jesus to save us. That is why we gather in this house week in and week out. What message from God could be so important to hear? What news needs to be proclaimed again and again? It's that our life is a wilderness, that we've made it a wasteland, that we have made valleys that are so deep and mountains and hills that are so high, piling up with the corruption of our sin, that it is rugged and rough with our sin. And that is the path through which our Savior God, Jesus, has traversed in order to save us in the quickest way possible. Nothing simple about that path that Jesus takes. Thoroughly corrupted and craggy by our sins. But what does God do? He levels it. He clears out that mess inside of us as he removes our sins from us. Which leads us to the even greater emphasis of our text, which is the warm embrace of the gospel that we see both especially at the beginning and the end of that text. On what basis can God extend double comfort to sinners for all of their sins? As their sins mount and pile up, as they compound upon one another, how can God increase and even double a message of comfort to us? That's good news indeed. The only kind of good news this could be is the gospel we know, that the warfare is over in Christ, that Jesus has fought and won the battle against sin for us, that all of our guilt is paid for. Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty in full and double for all our sins and for the sins of the whole world. What wonderful news this is that God has to give to us through his messengers. Comfort, comfort my people with my message of love. News that is to lift up. News that is to shout about. Think about the doubling efforts that need to be made to pay off a debt. Perhaps you think about that as a congregation, as not only do you have your regular expenses, but you incur something extra on top of all that to pay for a building construction or some kind of loan. The efforts need to be doubled to accomplish that. Generous gifts need to be outpoured. That's what God is expressing in relationship to our sin. Not the doubling of suffering on our part, but the doubling of the gracious gift of God to make the payment in full for all of our sins. That's what we have received from God. The wonderful love, the message of His love for us, which is the warm embrace that comes from Him. In the closing words of our text, we see that warmest expression then. You might expect that God, who has paid double, had to pay so much and beyond because of all of our sins, there might be a feeling of resentment. Yes, I saved you, and now this is what you owe to me. But that's not what we receive at all from God. We receive instead that warmest embrace of a loving God who was delighted to be able to come and save us. A news which is so great that needs to be told. God commands His messengers, go up on the highest heights. Make sure that everyone can hear what you have to say, because this message is important. And friend, listen to the warm embrace that He speaks from that message from the heights. He says, here is your God. Here is your God, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus in the flesh, to clear away all of our sins. He comes. He comes with His strong, His mighty arm. An arm that is truly ruling all things for Him. And what does He do with that strong arm? He picks you up in His arms and embraces you with the reward of His salvation, like the warm embrace of a shepherd caring for a helpless sheep. Like a shepherd, He will care for His flock. With His arm, He will gather the lambs. He will lift them up on His lap. He will gently lead the nursing mothers. How vulnerable we are. How susceptible to attack, to destruction. And much of it is the result of our own self-destruction. But that's precisely why the King shall come. He comes to rescue His helpless, His wayward people. And He does so with the greatest love. With the warmest embrace, He comes to bring them salvation. As He Himself carries them in His own arms, He carries them as He cares for them. God sends all of His messengers to carry this incredible message of love from God to His people. Whether it was from Isaiah to God's Old Testament believers, waiting for the fulfillment of the Messiah to come and save them, or from John the Baptist, preparing the way for Jesus coming in the flesh. Even now to preachers still today, as they preach of people longing for the Messiah's coming again to bring them that joy of heaven. In every case, the message that God sends through those messengers is one of love. It is one that speaks in love the cold, hard truth of our sins, what we have done, and what we deserve for it. But the cold reality is answered and even enlivened even more by that warm embrace of God in the flesh. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh together will see it. Yes, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. God reveals His glory for all to see in the flesh of the baby born in Bethlehem. God reveals that glory for all to see in the one who came in the flesh to suffer and die, to be lifted up on the cross for all to see. The glory of the Lord in the suffering and death of the Savior, the substitute, the one who redeems us from sin and death and the devil by His death and resurrection. As we today prepare our hearts for our Savior's return through the messengers that He sends to us, let us gladly hear and joyfully receive His message of love. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.